This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report, as we continue by going south to Oaxaca, Mexico, where tensions remain high over concerns the government's planning to use force to crush a populist uprising there. Over the weekend, military aircraft began flying over Oaxaca, and additional troops were deployed to nearby army posts. A headline in the Mexico City Daily Milenio proclaimed preparations for war in Oaxaca.
Over the past few months, tens of thousands of striking public school teachers have been joined by indigenous youth and labor organizations to launch a widespread campaign of civil disobedience in Oaxaca. The protesters are calling for Oaxaca Governor Ruiz Ortiz to resign. Protesters have blockaded streets and government buildings and have taken over the state-run television station. President Vicente Fox has said he will resolve the standoff before he leaves office at the end of November and has not ruled out the use of force.
While the possibility exists to reach an agreement, we will continue to insist on it, in reaching an agreement and resolving everything in that manner. If this does not happen, violations of the law must always be stopped and must be punished. The government is ready to fulfill its responsibility on both accounts. First, to promote a dialogue to look for a democratic understanding, and second, to always uphold the application of the law.
That was Mexican President Vicente Fox. Meanwhile, leaders of the Oaxaca populist uprising said they would not attend the round of negotiations set for today in Mexico City. They accused the government of using the proposed forum as an attempt to legitimize the use of force. This is Flavio Sosa, a leader of the People's Popular Assembly of Oaxaca.
John Gibler is an independent journalist based in Mexico. We'll play that clip in just a minute. But John joins us now from Oaxaca. Welcome to Democracy Now! Hi, John.
Hi there.
Can you describe what's happening right now?
For the past 9 days, the situation in Oaxaca has been incredibly tense as the rumors of an imminent federal police or military operation to uproot the protests here have coursed through the city, multiplying the number of people that are taking to the streets at night, especially to guard the night barricades that are set up between 10 and 11 at night in street corners throughout the city. An incredible number, over 1,000, by the most conservative estimates, of barricades are set up through the city. During the daytime, they lift up the barricades, and usually the city returns to more or less a normal or pace of life. But again, the tension is palpable in the air.
John, there were recently some bombings of some banks in the city by a previously unknown group. Could you talk about that and what's been the reaction of the People's Assembly that is leading the civil disobedience there?
The People's Assembly immediately denounced those bombings. They were very low intensity homemade bombs, pipe bombs that were set off early in the morning 2 days ago outside of a couple of banks. And the People's Assembly immediately called a press conference denouncing the bombings and saying that they imagined that they were a counterinsurgency tactic used by the government to try and create an impression once again that their movement is some kind of an urban guerrilla movement. So they've publicly denounced the bombings, called once again for only organized civil disobedience response to violence that has taken place over the last few months.
Are we seeing a new Chiapas, John?
We're seeing something like that. This is definitely the key word there is new. I've never seen anything like this movement because it's Chiapas, again, it was an armed uprising. I mean, these were people who had dealt with, you know, the indigenous people of Chiapas decades, if not centuries, of incredible state neglect and repression. And that also, I think, is at the root of the uprising here. But there's no one walking around in ski masks carrying AK-47s here. I mean, these are teachers in their 40s and 50s wrapped in blankets sitting around fires at barricades at night with no guns in sight. They've got sticks and rocks, and especially the younger, the high school and college-age students have a lot of Molotov cocktails that they wheel around in shopping carts, but this is not a guerrilla movement, which makes it something very distinct, something very new. But that decades, if not centuries, of discontent is at the root here, I think, is undeniable.
Well, from all of the reports that I've heard and the people we've interviewed, it seems to me more reminiscent of the Gwangju uprising in South Korea, the democracy uprising decades ago, or in Cordoba in Argentina. There was one also in the 70s. What's been the impact on the general population throughout Mexico now that all of the furor over the elections has died down to some extent? Is the rest of the nation following what's going on here, and how is public opinion in terms of the ongoing uprising?
Absolutely, this is definitely the top story. It's on the front page of all the national newspapers and the top of the news hours here in Mexico. So the eyes of the country are, without a doubt, on Oaxaca. Since the movement has been going on for so long, 4 months now, and it also comes on the heels of a spectacular civil disobedience uprising in response to allegations of electoral fraud.
John Gibler, we're going to have to leave it there. I want to thank you for being with us. John Gibler speaking to us from Oaxaca. We'll certainly continue to follow details. DemocracyNow.org, our website. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us.